Good morning, fellow children of the Almighty God. We're going to do things a little bit different this Sunday. Last week when Blake was being asked questions, someone said, oh, we're going to have a different service next week. And they go, oh, Mike's preaching. Oh, that's enough said. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I can promise you there'll be no glass flying this Sunday. But we're gathered here today for many reasons. Some of us were here to begin to know Christ. Some of us are here on the edge of believing in Christ. Some of us are just about ready to commit our lives to Christ and be baptized and then begin living our lives for Him. And if someone's at that point, I encourage you, seek Jeff at some point this morning during the songs or whatever. That'll make this message today a lot better. It'll be more exciting, more memorable. But this morning we're going to be focusing on the becoming. Gus has preached the past two Sundays on a place to begin to know Christ. And the place you begin to know Christ can be a lot of different areas, but it can also be here. And then he was preaching on believing in Christ last Sunday. And he said, some of the people, they, like Saul, got to see Christ, and they had a personal experience, firsthand experience with Christ. Some of them, like Rahab, heard from others that had the firsthand experience with Christ. Now, we don't have that opportunity. We don't get to see Christ personally, whether it's firsthand or whether it was right after he came back resurrected from the dead. But we still have that chance that we can begin to know him, believe in him, and then become a follower. In December, Gus preached and challenged us to leave our sin behind, to cross the line. I don't know if you remember that white line being down here. He said, when you give your life to Christ, step over, leave your sin behind. And since the very beginning, Adam and Eve, we've had issues with that. Instead of being focused on the we got focused on the me. So in the beginning, Adam and Eve were more focused on themselves than a relationship with God, causing them to fall into sin. And then from that day forward, we have dealt with the consequences of sin in our lives. And so we're looking this morning to move out of that. A lot of times we justify our sin and we ignore it because we only look at the good. We look at the good. There's this beautiful apple. You can see, looks really nice, right? Yummy, delicious, and all that. Kind of like when we look in a mirror. We look in a mirror and we say, wow, God, woo, you overdid it. And I actually had my glasses on that time. Usually I don't have them on then. But we have to make sure that we're actually looking at ourselves in the sin. A lot of times we're blinded. We're not clearly looking. There's the other side. And there's that sin. Some of it's a superficial sin that's eating away at our lives, causing us not to be a good witness for Christ. Some of it is really getting deep in there, going clear down in the core and disrupting how we can be a witness for Christ. So this morning, we need to set our sins behind and move forward. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury fire that consumes the adversaries. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much that we can gather here this morning, that we have the opportunity to praise your name. We have the opportunity to sing songs of worship to how wonderful you are. Lord, we also have this chance this morning to break free from our sins. Lord, help us break the chains that of our sin that only you can do. Amen. But now that we're acknowledging that we need Jesus to break us of our sins and to focus on a relationship with Christ to become a better follower and build a solid foundation on the solid rock of Christ, So the second thing we're going to talk about this morning is building that solid relationship. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promised, for who promised is faithful." So we have God who forgives our sins. We have to step away from our sins. Then we have to work at nurturing that relationship. That first relationship we have to work at is with God. Jesus is faithful to us. We have to be faithful to him and strive to become a better follower of his in 2020. Research shows that 80% of people do this when they wake up first thing in the morning. What was it? Look at your phone. 80% of people, the first thing they do when they wake up is look at their smartphone. That's where our lives have become consumed. They check their phones. This happens to our relationships since the phones have taken them over. Our relationships are being destroyed. The phones are eating away them. One of the biggest things that are facing the population, not only in Americans, but worldwide, is there's a lack of meaningful and authentic relationships to others and in God. So people are becoming so addicted to their phones, they're not even having relationships with other people, and they're not even having a relationship with God. Most Americans find themselves having no close friends in a time when they are more connected than ever. They have more so-called friends, but yet less close friends. So to become a closer follower, we must shift from the me to we. So we have to get away from the me and move into the we. Now our vision is to begin to know Christ. And the beginning to know Christ, that's very much a me. I am getting to know Christ. Sorry. The believing is a me. You are who has to believe in Christ. No one else can do that for you. But when we're moving into the becoming, that's a we. That's the body of believers. We're all encouraging one another. So I'm going to challenge you this year, in 2020, to work on your relationship with God by spending 20 minutes a day in prayer and working 20 minutes a day in reading Scripture. Now, if you say, "Oh, I can't do that. Maybe 2 minutes." Well, then start with 2 minutes and 2 minutes. Because until you start somewhere, begin somewhere, you're not going to move forward. But I challenge you to give God 20 minutes each. At this time, we're going to turn our eyes and focus on God now as Blake leads us in a song. Focus this morning on moving our relationship with Christ from me to we by focusing on our time with God in prayer and reading Scripture. A second relationship that we need to focus on is nurturing our relationship with other believers. We live in a time that's not only considered now to be post-Christian culture, but also a post-truth culture. So there's no settings, there's no moral standards anymore. If you believe something's what you want it to be, it is. So using these relationships with other believers is who helps keep you in balance. Which makes it, many people believe attending church service is enough. They say, "Oh, if you come into church, you're good, punch my card, got my heaven card filled out, it's all good. Maybe I'll even pay a little dues during my offering time." But that's not what Christ is looking for when we're looking at this Hebrews scripture. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, I am not criticizing corporate worship at all. I totally believe we need the corporate worship. But we also need to be making sure that we're investing outside of that and becoming a better follower of Christ and nurturing those relationships with other believers. It's hard to do that just in our fellowship time, a few minutes before church service, a few minutes afterwards. Do not be deceived, those of you who believe you have a strong Christian life. As you look in the mirror, remember you are a sinner who needs a Savior. Partnering with close, meaningful, and authentic relationships allows someone to see your bad spots that you're blinded to. Just as in that apple, if we all just look in the mirror, we don't see the true picture. But we surround ourselves with people that help us see our faults. Here at LVCC, we encourage you to participate in a life group. It meets a different time of the week, but the purpose of it is not to just say, oh, I was in a life group. The purpose of it is a movement towards maximum participation in Christ and to the body, church body, and to others. Life groups allow you to foster close relationships, to love one another, and to encourage one another, to share scriptures with one another, and to pray for one another. Pray for the needs of one another. Help those that are sick. Grieve with one another. Just as the church did in Acts 2, 42 through 47, they made sure they were meeting daily and everything was in common, and so everyone was taken care of. The Christians in this day and age can sometimes be called hypocritical because the world sees both sides of your apple. They're looking at you and they're not blinded. They're seeing the front. They're also seeing the back. And they're seeing what's going on because they're seeing the lack of living out your faith. They're seeing the lack of participation in the body of Christ. They're seeing the continued sinful lifestyle. Matthew 16, 24 through 46, 26, excuse me, says to deny himself and pick up the cross and follow Christ. Works don't save you. Christ saves you. But when you're in life groups, you start creating activities and you start living your life. Your faith is lived out. You're participating in the body of Christ. You're having each other to help break your bondage of your sins, holding each other accountable. You're helping pick up and carry your cross. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." Those are what we're trying to nurture in each and every one of you when you're in a life group or when you're in fellowship with other believers. Life groups put you in a situation to grow in Christ, grow in leadership, emphasize the importance of your Christian relationships and your relationship to Christ, creating a responsibility to those other believers. Jesus had his relationship with God. He was in continual prayer with God. And then he also had his horizontal, I don't remember who preached on that, someone preached on it last year, vertical relationships, God, horizontal with your other believers. He had his inner circle of three. He had his 12 disciples. And then he had the body, the mass body of followers of Christ that followed him. And then he also had the non-followers that were non-Christians that were following him. Put yourself in a situation to grow this year. Put yourself in a way that you can change your life daily and allow God's breath to fill our lungs because the Lord is so great. The world tells you one of the ways to grow is to hang out with people who fit your future and not your past. I somewhat agree with this. And the fact that we need to put behind us our sinful ways and be surrounded by fellow believers and to encourage one another and spur us on to good deeds. But I also think we need to make sure that we're looking out for those that are lost, that don't know Christ yet. One of the things that life groups do, and I was thinking about telling you some of the stuff they do, and then I decided I wanted to put you on the spot. And so those of you that are in life groups, I want you to tell me, how have you been engaged in a life group to act in service? How have you been challenged to move forward? So, Hebrews, real quiet. But it says that we have this confidence in Christ. Okay? Why do we have this confidence in Christ to approach him at any time? The same reason you have confidence this morning. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and we have a direct path of communication with him. No longer do we have to depend on the priest to be holy and to go through all the hand washings and all that and go in to talk to God for us once a year. We have that direct communication. Now, you answering my question isn't talking to God. But how is it caused? Otherwise, you're going to have to hear me tell you some things, and I didn't really want to. Who will be the first to say something?
One way, if you're really following along in your book and doing your homework, your little daily follow-ups, you can easily get your 20 minutes in the scripture and your 20 minutes in prayer done that you just challenged us to do. So being part of a small group can do that, but if you lead one, you learn even more.
So is leading, which is part of that development of your leadership, you're studying even more, because by the time you study the scriptures to try to talk about it in front of people, you know it pretty well. But he also said if you're doing your devotions that are set up in front of you, you're getting your 20 minutes pretty easily a day. The scripture growth. What's another one?
Accountability.
Wonderful one. So when you're able, in a small setting, you're able to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help hold me accountable? When I'm going out and I'm going to throw Drew under the bus, when he said, God, give me someone to witness to today. And he had a chance where he pulled over on the side of the road and he picked him up because their cars broke down and he took him home. But he didn't take the chance, the opportunity to say what? Why did you do it? He didn't tell him about Jesus. And that was our life group challenge. That week from what, a year and a half ago? Okay, I'm trying not to throw him under the bus, but I just did. Maybe I should throw Roger under next. There was a life group setting. Roger, what did we do as a big group? This is actually like six life groups. What did they get together and do? A bunch of life groups. You were there. When you were yodeling down with Randy Dack in the edge of the field, you were yodeling. Randy's ears were hurting. What were we doing then? Do you remember? We were helping out another fellow believer in Christ.
We were having fun fellowshipping, getting a lot of work done on the farm.
Yep.
And eating somebody's wonderful cinnamon rolls.
And eating wonderful food. You know, there's Christians, you know. I always used to joke that whenever two people get together, God will be present in a plate of food. Okay? So you were in service. Action, we were helping out someone that was needing help. Sometimes trying to get a certain task done as an individual can take a long, long, long time. But if there's two of you working together, or three, all of a sudden that task is shortened down. Proverbs 21:2, I think, if I'm bringing it off the top of my head right. Any others? Speak up. I'm going to tell you a few that I've seen. Go ahead. I can understand that.
We do projects, but we also talk about scripture during our life. We talk about life's events, what's going on with us, what's going on with the world. And we talk about, you know, how our lives are going to be. And then some of the projects we do military events and
so they get together, they study the scripture, they encourage one another through stirring up, and the stirring up in the scripture also, that word can be translated as provoking, which is a little bit more ribbing. I think that happens a little bit on Thursday mornings. I've been there a few times. But they're studying God's word, encouraging one another to be faithful. Then they're not only doing that, but they're taking out and they're going out and helping people. Now they mentioned wheelchair ramps they were doing. Anything else?
Reminder on your phone. I think it was like
Mm-hmm. The life group about anxiousness, focusing on him. Anxiety is a big one people deal with. Speaking in public is one of the biggest anxieties people ever have in life. I actually fear it more than death, and I just made all of you conquer death, you know? Isn't that pretty amazing? All in a short, sad sermon, you know? But thankful for the Holy Spirit that helps discern it. One of the other things I've seen recently is prayer. A lot of prayer for one another in the life groups to lift one another up. I've seen a lot of helping out when people are going through rough times of their life, whether miscarriages, whether losses of parents, reaching out and helping people through hard times, death. Celebrations too, though. One of the life group things I saw that spurred someone on as they went out and they decided to give their tips away to Macy. All right? And not only was there $1,700 that was raised for Macy through that, then that encouraged that person's boss. And that person's boss then turned around and said, wow, that's pretty cool. Maybe not those words, but close. And said, I'm going to write a check to match whatever you got. And so then when they're seeing you in action out in life, you're putting your faith in action. You're living it out. The world sees it as you're becoming a Christian. And then it encourages them. So that the last point, I know you're glad it's the last point. You're like, amen, right? But as we are going from me to we must also focus on relationships with those who do not know Christ yet. This morning we talked about becoming a closer relationship with Christ, forming that relationship through prayer, study. We also talked about gathering, making sure that you didn't neglect gathering with fellow believers in corporate worship, but also in a smaller setting. This leads us to the natural point of desire for the 2020. And when you look at our 2020 vision and you see it all over, it goes down. You see the begin, the believe, the become, and then it goes down. And when these charts were put up, I thought, ooh, that is so neat. I love how it ended. But it was build. HK. Anyone know what that stands for? His kingdom. Matthew 28:19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The time is drawing near. We do not know how long we have till Jesus will be back. We need to make sure that we are sharing the gospel. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I'm going to read our scripture as a whole today as we close out, and then we're going to do a song of worship, asking God to come in to our hearts, asking him, you know, this, if you didn't get what this morning was for, is to try to have a point, emphasize it with song, so that we are all together. So go ahead and stand. I'm going to read the scripture and then we're going to sing. Hebrews 10:23-27 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for the sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that consumes the adversaries. Dear Heavenly Father, we just hope that we were pleasing in our worship to you this morning. Lord, help us to see clearly in 2020 that we can go out and share the gospel to others efficiently this year. Lord, we don't want to see anyone not know you because of something we have done. Lord, help us to grow in our relationship with you through prayer and scripture reading. Help us to grow in our relationships to one another and fellow believers. Lord, help us reach out to those that do not know you yet, Lord, so that you can add to that number daily that are be added. Lord, we are so excited to serve you and so excited seeing what your church is doing in the community at LVC Licking Valley, but also what the LVC community is doing in other parts of the world through their missions and through their activities. Lord, we are so grateful, and we know that everything we do is because of you. You are so awesome and so mighty, and we just can't even fathom it. Help us to be efficient this week and go be the church. In Christ's name, amen.